I'm excited because this message, I'm going to warn you, it's not as much preaching as there is some good practical application to this message. That doesn't mean that I might not get excited about it, but there is some good practical application that I think is really important in this passage and kind of builds on what we had talked about on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And so let's go ahead and let's dive into the passage here, and we're going to start in verse 10. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, into the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with the message tonight. Pray that you'd help me to say the right words tonight, to communicate clearly. Pray, Father, that this message would be a help and that you would just speak to hearts through it. We love you so much and are so thankful for all the blessings you provide and give to us each day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I think we could all say that we've been involved in some sort of a building or a house project before. Now, with that project, we know that whenever you're doing a house project or a building project, that they never, ever, hardly ever go as planned. Right? My wife loves watching HGTV. I tolerate it, all right? I tolerate it. I'll still watch it because I feel like, you know, when people are going house hunting, you know, they're kind of like, you know, snobby. Like, this place doesn't have like brass colored sinks, or it doesn't have, oh man, this walk-in closet's too small or whatever. And then, but you've seen them where they've done remodeling, and they get there, the contractor and the designer get there, and they're remodeling this kitchen or bedroom or living room or whatever it is, and they start tearing the walls down because you always have to tear down a wall. And they get in there and they tear down the wall and they're like, uh-oh, we have a problem. There's water damage, there's mold, or there's termites, or, you know, oh, we accidentally knocked out what's the walls that are load-bearing walls. Oh, man, you know, we've done this. And so now the project's going to cost you more money, or you have to cut here. And, you know, it just never goes as planned. Or for me, whenever I do a house project, I always have to make 3 trips to the store because me and myself, I just end up buying the wrong part or didn't get one of the tools that I needed to get, or, and you know, it happens. And I'll admit, and you know, I'm not going to be prideful. I make mistakes, and you just ask my wife. You know, I've had several projects where I've gotten frustrated because of something that I've done that wasn't wise. But I would submit to you today that Nehemiah was given a task and a job to do. He was given a building project, right? The Lord had laid on his heart to go to Jerusalem, to his people, and build the wall and the gates to then allow Jerusalem to be protected, to not be a reproach, to not be in ruin. And so he had his own building project. And I think the principles that we're going to see in this passage are principles that we need to apply to our life. Now, on Sunday morning, we talked about how we need to have a burden, and God gives us a burden. But if we're going to fulfill that burden, we need to be broken and be willing to confess and get right with God and be right with God so then that we can fulfill the burden that he has laid on our heart. And then Sunday night, we talked about how we need to be a committed servant, committed to the things of God, committed to doing what he has called us to do. And commitment takes sacrifice. And there's some things in our lives we'll have to sacrifice to do the work that God has burdened us to do. Well, I want us to see tonight that now that we have we've seen the burden, and hopefully in your life, I would encourage you, if you don't have a burden, pray that the Lord gives you a burden for something. And what you, and then that you be committed and that you serve in that way. But now I want us tonight to see that now it's time to build. They're at the point now where he's then come to the wall and he's now getting ready to build. And so I want us to see tonight, first off, that building, if we're going to build on the burden that God has given us, that building takes preparation. Takes preparation. So it says in verse 11, So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. So here he finally made his 800-mile journey from Shushan the palace, and he had his letters that he was going to present to the governors and those over the provinces, that he would have safe passage. He had the Persian army there with him that the king granted and sent with him. And now he's at Jerusalem. He's now taking 3 days, and he's just not doing anything. The Bible doesn't say what he does. Maybe he rested after a long journey. Maybe he was waiting on the Lord to give him direction on what to do next. You see, remember from the end of chapter 1, where Nehemiah had a burden where he got the news, then at the beginning of chapter 2, it says it was 4 months since Nehemiah had gotten the burden. So he'd been praying, fasting, and seeking the Lord for 4 months for the king to be able to have an audience to the king and be able to ask the request that he was going to ask. To be able to get there safely. He provided him the wood from the king's forest, and the Lord was 100% in Nehemiah's decision. And I will tell you, if the Lord lays a burden on your heart, guess what? He's going to provide. He's going to always make a way, but there's some preparation that has to take place. And I believe Nehemiah learned his lesson after waiting 4 months, that, hey, there's some preparation that's going to need to take place for me to be able to fulfill what God has called me and has burdened me to do. But I think oftentimes for us in our lives, sometimes, man, we get psyched. Oh, man, I have a burden. I need to just jump in and do it. But I think there's some times where we need to recognize that there's some preparation that we need to do and not jump the gun. Because if you recall, King Saul, back in 1 Samuel chapter 13, they were up against the Philistines, and then the people were leaving because they were supposed to go to battle, and he's like, man, I'm waiting on leading from the Lord, and then he's like, Samuel's supposed to come in 7 days to do a sacrifice. Well, the 7 days come, and the people are scattered. So King Saul takes it upon himself to just make a sacrifice. And the Bible says that as soon as he made the sacrifice, Samuel came. And if he would have just waited, then he would have been just fine. But you know what that did? That cost him being the king of Israel. Because after that, the Lord said, I have now found. next time I preach, some of the inside espionage stuff in that. And you're like, espionage is in the Bible? It is. It's kind of cool in a good way, but it's in there. And Sanballat, he was a governor of the Samaria in that area, and he was also probably given those same papers that, hey, you're to provide safe passage. Okay, there's some guy from Persia that's just interested in Jerusalem and the Jews. Okay, well, the Bible says, and it grieved them exceedingly that there was a man coming. Like, wait a second, we rule the roost around here. Because the Bible says they've been under reproach and been bullied by Sanballat and Tobiah and those in that providence. So, and I can't wait to get to the end of the chapter, because as we've read, there's some fun things that happen between Nehemiah and the enemies there. But Nehemiah was just very cautious. He didn't communicate the real reason that he was come to Jerusalem. And he was just saying, all right, I'm going to spend 3 days. And then it says he went out at night. So here he was, knowing that there's enemies that are throughout the providence. He's like, you know what? I need to go evaluate what God has called me to do. I need to see it. I mean, sometimes if to catch a vision or of something, you sometimes need to see it first, right? If you want to, here's an example. My wife likes to, you know, decorate and design things and stuff like that. And she'll be showing someone a picture of a living room that they're wanting to have, you know, that, you know, have some parts of it that have like couches or pictures or colors that they would like. But and the person's like, I just don't see it. I just don't see it and get it. Well, sometimes you have to see it for yourself. Well, Nehemiah's like, I need to see this burden that God's given me. And so he goes out at night, knowing not the enemies aren't going to be the ones that are going to be around, and the people aren't going to be around, because guess what happens when the people are around and the enemies are around? Oh, he's coming to check out the wall. Is he trying to buy Jerusalem? Is he trying to? And it just leads to so much speculation. So it was wise for him to wait and to evaluate what was going on. So it was good to be prepared. And I think it would be probably safe to say that it was probably, you know, a full moon, because you wouldn't be able to see very much on what he had. So it says that he took a beast and then a few men with him, and he just went and looked at the wall. And Nehemiah was very descriptive on how he went about doing it. And so it shows the detail that Nehemiah had. So Nehemiah was a very detailed person and wanted to make sure that he was just prepared to evaluate what it was that he was going to be doing. He was out there looking, man, we're going to need a lot more wood for this wall here and for this gate. And okay, this one's this size. And just kind of evaluating what would be needed to build, because in chapter 3, that's when they start building. So he's going and taking his measurements. Now, whenever I'm doing a project, if you tried to build a wall and you didn't take any measurements, guess what you're going to have? You're not going to have the right material. You're not going to have the right resources. It's going to be crooked and look like that I built it. But it's always, what, measure 3 times and cut once. And so, but there was some preparation. And for him to be effective and to be able to give his best. And when we just jump in and do something and not evaluate what God wants, we tend to do it in our own timing and in our own strength. Think about this. The 12 spies were sent out by Moses, right, to go look at the land, to evaluate the land, and to see, you know, what type of enemies are there. If the land be good and fruitful, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And the 12 spies went, and of course they come back, and they give a bad report. You know, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good, the song. And so the 10 spies come back and they said, oh, there's giants in the land, and there's no way that we're going to be able to take this land. There's no way we're going to accomplish this land. And Caleb and Joshua said, no, let us go up now and even take this land. And the Lord's with us. The Lord can do it. Well, all because they just went and saw it. They had a vision. They evaluated it, and they said, wow, look what God's going to be able to do. He's going to be able to get us through this land, to this land. But the other 10 didn't believe it. They doubted. Giants, how are we going to ever conquer this land? And they knew, hey, they knew the promise that God was going to give them that land. But yet they still doubted, and it cost them 40 years in the wilderness, and that they weren't able to even go into the promised land. So being obedient to the burden that God has laid on your heart. And you may be here and you say, well, Brother Joe, you know, I don't have really a burden. Can I encourage you? You need to be praying that the Lord would burden you for something, to do something for Him. And it might not be something big. And it doesn't have to be big. But if God burdens something on your heart, you need to do it. And you need to take thought and make preparation for it. And it's important, like we talked about Sunday morning, to make sure that our hearts are prepared to do what God wants us to do. Maybe the reason that you're not having a burden is because you haven't gotten some things right in your life. And so there's some preparation in that where you need to get things settled and confessed and right with God to be able to effectively serve Him. And I want us to think about how that we can, as a church here at Western Hills Baptist Church, if each person had a burden, think about this, and you did and fulfilled the burden that God wanted you to do, imagine what God could do with that. Because all we are is servants. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that's okay. The Lord's leading me to say it. All we simply are servants. You say, well, Brother Joe, you're an assistant pastor. I said, but to me, the title is not important. All I want to be known as is just a servant of God. Yeah. And that's what Moses was. Moses is known as the servant of God. And Nehemiah himself, as we learned earlier in the chapter, he was just simply a servant. So if we would just be simply servants and do the burden that God has called us to do, and it's going to take some preparation on our part. It's going to take some vision on our part. And if the Lord would have you be involved in a ministry, don't just perform the ministry, but have a vision to do it. That's part of the preparation. Man, see, wow, look how God could maybe even use me to be involved in a Sunday school class. How God could use me to be involved in a junior church. How God could use me to serve on a bus ministry. Or how God could use me maybe to write cards to shut-ins or to be an encouragement. So there's so many things that God could burden your heart to do, but there's some preparation that has to go into it. You have to prepare for it. And you say, well, if I'm going to write cards to shut-ins, what do I have to do to prepare for it? And I'm just giving some practical examples, right? And so what do you have to do for it? Well, the first thing you would have to do is talk to the pastor about it and say, Pastor, I'd love to just do this. And the pastor's going to say, man, that's awesome. Let's do it. And said, okay, well, I'd like to be able to, you know, be able to reach out to them. And so that's where you can give, you know the information and say, all right, this is who you can call and ask and write them a letter and send it out and get the right materials and just be able to effectively prepare to do the ministry that God's burdened you to do. But if we don't prepare, what are the consequences? I want us to think about this. Here's an example. And again, I'm just using practical examples. I'm not trying to, when I say this, there's like no Sunday school teachers that are not preparing, okay? But what I'm saying is, let's say a Sunday school teacher waited till, let's say, 5 minutes before church started to prepare for their lesson. There's no preparation in that. So would they be able to effectively do their best and prepare a lesson for their class? Yes or no? No. Why? Because there was no preparation. So God wants us to be prepared and so that we can do our best. But if you don't have a vision, let's say the Sunday school teacher doesn't have a vision to see their class grow. I'd say, well, I just give my lesson every week and that's all I do. But what about investing into people? What about thinking of ways how I can prepare to invest in people? And, you know, encourage them and bring them and see growth. And because guess what? You know what? When you invest in people, people are going to want to be in Sunday school. Amen. People are going to want to serve God. People are want to get on fire and do things for God. All because you're encouraging them and pointing them that in that direction. And that applies to every ministry. It just shouldn't be just Sunday school teachers that invest in people. It shouldn't just be a pastor that invests in people. Everyone should be investing in everyone. You know, we have all these prayer requests that we mentioned here tonight, and you're writing them down and you're praying for them. It's okay to call someone up and say, hey, you know, how's Brother Richard's arm doing? It's okay to do that. We should be investing in people, but that takes some preparation. It takes some preparation, maybe finding out their phone number and giving them a call and saying and encourage them. Say, hey, I prayed for you today. There's so much goes, just a little bit goes a long way. But there's some preparation that has to happen. And Nehemiah here, he was going to all these different parts, these gates and these walls, and preparing and seeing and evaluating what God wanted him to do. So building, first off, takes preparation, but secondly, building takes work. So after scoping out the wall and the gates, Nehemiah knew the next step would be, he's got to tell the people why he's there. And some of the people are kind of like, man, what's this guy from Persia doing here? I mean, he's a Jew? Okay, well, why is he here? And so Nehemiah, if you see here, it says he didn't tell anyone. It even lists out specifically I didn't tell the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the rulers, nor the rest that did the work. It says in verse 17, it says, then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire? Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. So he's like, hey, are you uncomfortable with living in this ruin? Because the Jews, for years, had tried to build the wall, and they got resistance from the enemy. And they're like, well, I guess I better, it's useless now. I mean, we keep getting pushback from the enemy on this. And so we're not going to be able to rebuild this wall. We're just going to live in the ruin that we're in this condition. And so here's what happens in our lives. We get kind of comfortable with the condition that we're in. We get kind of comfortable without putting up walls, without putting up the gates, without restoring, and we just get comfortable, and we're okay with the ruin, because guess what? Every time I try to go do a ministry, you know, something happens, or every time I try to do, you know, serve God in this way, something happens, and an obstacle comes in my way, and it's just not worth it, because there's just so much that I have to do, and so much that's involved. And guess what? What happens when we let sin, and that's right there, the sin of doubt. When we start to question and say that, hey, I can't be used of God, you know, that's Satan trying to cause you to doubt and say that you can't be used of God. And Satan will search for our weakest moments and our weaknesses if we're not putting up the walls. And it's so important here that the walls were built, because they were approached. And Nehemiah is like, we shouldn't be satisfied with the condition of Jerusalem. We shouldn't be satisfied with the condition of our lives. And oftentimes what happens is they didn't have that, they didn't catch that burden, or they were given a burden to build the wall because they tried, but they gave up. Maybe they even got a little bit lazy about it. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, it says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So the sluggard, you know, desireth, he wants to do something, but has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now me, if I was like, man, I really love to eat, and I want to eat, and I want to eat, and I want to eat, then I don't eat, well, I'm not going to gain anything. And of course, for me, that might not be too bad of an idea. But it says, but the soul that desireth, and the one that does it, the one that does it, the diligent, it shall be made fat. So man, if I see a plate of food and I'm hungry, I'm gonna eat it. I'm gonna go for it. I'm not gonna sit there and be wasted away to nothing. I'm gonna enjoy the food. But he shared with him his vision and what God had laid on his heart. Can I tell you one of the most encouraging things you can share with someone is what God has laid on your heart and what God's doing? That's all he simply did. And he shared with the people in verse 18. It says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. So he said, hey, you want to live in ruin? You want to live in this type of condition? But guess what? God's laid something on my heart. And he's called me to come here to help build this wall. And the Lord's been in it. Look what the Lord's done. He's provided the kings in the forest, the wood. And the king did this and made a way for it. And I'm just here to tell you tonight that if God has burdened you with something and called you to do something, he's going to provide that. And you should share it with someone. Not in a way like, yep, God's doing a great work in my life. I'm like the most awesome Christian ever. I mean, God's allowed me to lead 5 people to Christ this week. Yeah, I'm awesome. No, that's not what he's meaning. And we should never do it in pride. But guess what this was? This was a shot in the arm to the Jews there at Jerusalem, saying, man, this guy came and God worked, and we're excited, and we want to just Man, we want. It says they wanted to strengthen their hands for the good work. So it says, all right, let's get the hammers, let's get the tools, let's get the wood, let's go build this wall. And so the same thing should be for us. We should desire to do the work that is involved in serving God. When God burdens you with something, you need to do it. You need to take the preparation that is made, but then you also need to go and do the work. And if God's laying on your heart to maybe the Lord's laying on your heart to pass out 100 tracts a week. Guess what? Go and do it. Don't be shy about it. Don't think, oh man, I'm not going to be able to do that. It's too hot outside, or whatever type of things you could say. But Satan's going to try to get in the way of that. He's going to try to keep you from doing that. But you need to do the work. Think about this. They wanted to do it because God was in it. And they tried in their own strength for years. And when we try to do something in our own strength, we're not going to be able to do it as good as if we would have just did it God's way or did it when God wanted us to do it. Everything that we do for God should be our best. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Everything that we do for God should be our best. So there's work involved. And I will tell you, if God burns your heart to do a ministry, to serve in some type of a ministry in a church, there is some work involved. And you say, well, Brother Joe, I don't really like to do work. But there's work involved. We have to do it. If God's called you to do it, you got to do it. But I want us to see something in Colossians chapter 3. Let me get turned over there. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 22 through 25. It says, Colossians 3, 22 through 25, servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. What's the next four words? As to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth the work, I'm sorry, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. So the Lord says, servants, obey in all things. Meaning, we're servants, right? We're servants, and we're to obey in all things. So if God burdens you to do something, guess what we're called to do? Obey. And being obedient is work. We're supposed to be doing it. Well, it says, obey in all things, your masters according to the flesh. And then at the end, fearing God. I'm sorry, I'm talking fast, and I'm getting excited about it. But that's how we're supposed to do. God calls us to do something, we do it. It's simple. And you say, well, it's not as simple as you're making it, Brother Joe. I want to encourage you, it is. And then verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it kind of halfway. No, it says, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Can I tell you, God deserves our best. Let's continue with this example, like a Sunday school teacher. And all of our Sunday school teachers are great, by the way. We have great Sunday school teachers. But let's say a Sunday school teacher who didn't prepare their lesson, are they doing it as unto the Lord? No. But if they spend time studying and reading the Bible lesson that they've been given and studying and knowing it and being able to teach it effectively, and they, at the end of their lesson, can say, man, I did my best, guess what? All God wants. All he wants is your best. And you know what? And you say, Brother Joe, I can't do much as a servant of Christ here. I'm kind of limited on things I can do. Yes, but guess what? God still wants you to do your best. No matter what your limitations are, no matter what it is that he's burdened you, you should still do your best to fulfill the burden. And part of doing your best is the preparation. Amen. And then doing the work. And we should give it our all. We shouldn't just do it half-heartedly. I mean, if my wife got up and played the piano and just kind of did it half-heartedly and didn't do her best and didn't do the preparation into it, it wouldn't sound as good. It wouldn't be as effective. So us as Christians, we need to give our best so that we can be effective in the work of God. And I want us to also see that Nehemiah's burden also became their burden. It was contagious. You know, when God's working, guess what it is? It's contagious. How excited was it when we found out that we were getting that bus? That's God providing. That's God doing the work. So picture this church, Nehemiah chapter 2. We're building. We have something to do. We have a ministry that we're going to be able to fulfill, but we're going to need workers to be able to serve in it. We're going to need people to be able to get their CDL and be able to serve in that ministry. And, you know, Brother Chris and I are doing it. We're going to get our CDL and we're going to be part of it. And you know what? But we need other people to catch a burden, to want to serve. And I'm just using that as an example. But God's provided so many other ministries and other opportunities, and he's going to be providing more, by the way, that we can serve. But I want to encourage you, when the Lord gives you a burden to serve in that, give it your all. Don't just do it partly. Give it your all. Do the work. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Serving God isn't always easy. But can I tell you, you will never regret serving God. Amen. But I've heard so many people say they regret that they didn't serve God. It's worth it. Pastor, when I right before I came on staff, he said, you're going to be sitting in your office one day, and you're going to be sitting there, and all of a sudden, you're going to realize, man, I get to do this. I get to serve God fully. You know what? That's happened a lot. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege. Nehemiah viewed this as a privilege. It's an honor to be able to get to go to Jerusalem, a place he'd never been before, and start to build. So building takes preparation, and it takes work. But building brings challenges. And of course, as with any project, there's challenges that happen, that come up. And we talked about this at the beginning of the message, you know, HGTV, you know, they'll have, now, we were watching one last night, actually, that they were remodeling a house in Tuscany, Italy, which was probably an exuberant amount of money, and there was problem after problem. The Italian government, they had to have approval from the mayor to put shutters on the windows. So the mayor had to come out and approve the shutters, and just like another hiccup after hiccup. And so just another challenge after challenge that they ran into. But with challenges comes discouragement. Because when you're doing what God wants you to do, guess who's not wanting you to do what God wants you to do? Satan, the devil. And when he sees, they're starting to build, what's this going on here? I can't allow that. I mean, I can't allow a Christian to serve God. What do they think they're doing? Because challenges will cause discouragement, and they'll cause doubt. At the same time, if you look in Nehemiah chapter 2, at the last, in verse 19, it says, but when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? They've tried that in the past, by the way, saying, hey, they wrote a letter to the king saying, these people are rebelling against you. They're trying to cause an uprising back in the book of Ezra. And they did that. And they're just causing all sorts of problems. You know, they kind of seem just like a bully, right? But it was a challenge, right? They were challenging, said, what do you guys even know what you're doing? Are you trying to rebel against the king? And so they were mocking them. And I want us to see something in Genesis chapter 3. Go ahead and turn there. I want to see something in Genesis chapter 3. And mocking them, saying, what is this thing that you're doing? They're saying, hey, what you're doing is completely pointless. It's not going to work. It's not going to make any difference. But if you look in Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So what's he causing? What's he doing? He's asking a question. Questions cause you to question. So it says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So Satan's tactic on Eve was simply causing her to question, say, has God really said that you have to eat, has God really said that you could eat of every tree of the garden? And he already knew the answer to that question, right? And so Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem already knew what they were doing. And they knew they weren't rebelling against the king, number one. But Satan was tempting Eve, causing her to doubt. And it's the same kind of questioning here that Sanballat and Tobiah were doing to the Jews and to Nehemiah. But can I tell you, Satan still uses the same tricks today. He still, whenever, hey, the Lord puts a burden on your heart and you start serving, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to start to make you lie and to cause you to question. I mean, he lied to Eve and said, you're not going to surely die. You're going to be like gods, knowing good and evil. And it's true, they did know that they did learn what was good and what was evil, but it caused a lot more problems because it separated them from God. But guess what? Satan, he will lie to us and he'll tell us things to keep us from doing what God wants. Here's some examples. How about, your coworker's never going to listen to you share the gospel. Why would you even tell them that? Why would you even share that with them? They're not going to care about what God's doing at your church. Or you're not going to see anyone saved by putting a tract on their door. I mean, you're just wasting your time. Is anyone really going to read that? They're going to pick it up and, you know, just chuck it in the trash. And Satan will say things like, you know, you can't make a difference in someone's life by sending them a card. That's not an encouragement to them. It's just a waste of a tree and paper and things like that. And he puts doubts in your mind. And I know these are kind of exaggerated, but it's true. He does. How about maybe something like, you're not talented enough to teach a class or serve in this ministry. I'm not talented enough to be able to teach a Sunday school class. Or there's no way, no way. Brother Joe, let me tell you, there's no way I would ever be able to teach junior church. Or there's no way that I could, you know, go on a bus and talk and you know, and deal with kids. Oh man, the gets so loud. And no, there's just no way. And so Satan starts to cause you to doubt. Hey, you're not going to be able to effectively serve God. You have all these limitations. You have all these things that you're not going to be able to do for him. But obviously we know that that's just Satan working behind the scenes trying to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And that's what he was doing. Satan himself saw that Nehemiah had a burden and that he was going to fulfill God's calling and that the people were excited. And can I tell you, with our church is getting excited for some things. Guess what Satan's going to do? He's going to try to get in. He's going to try to get in the middle of it. He's going to try to keep us from growing. He's going to try to keep us from being able to serve God effectively. But then when challenges come, we can't just ignore them. You have to address them. When challenges come, you can't just brush them off to the side. Well, that's a challenge, but oh well, whatever. But we have to address them. When Satan attacks, we can't ignore his temptation. James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there needs to be some resistance when temptation comes. There needs to be some pushback saying, hey, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm going to resist this. Jesus, think about when he was tempted. Well, how did he handle that? When Satan says, oh, if you're the Son of God, which he knew that he was, right? Again, causing him to question, make that these stones are bread. And Jesus' response was with the Bible. And Jesus didn't ignore him, right? Jesus responded to him. He didn't just say, what is he doing talking to me? No, he addressed it. And he said, man should not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He addressed it. He used scripture. And that's why it's so important that as when we're serving God and we're fulfilling the burden, is that we spend time with God, that we spend time in God's word, that we spend time in having a close relationship with God. So then that way, hey, if you're teaching a Sunday school class and one of the kids comes up to you and says, hey, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about this? And you can effectively communicate what the Bible says about it. And we actually talked about it in Sunday school this past Sunday with the teens, we talked about the Bible being your foundation for everything that we believe, right? It's truth. It's everything that we believe. And I used a couple examples, just random examples that the Lord laid on my heart. And like I told them, I said, your parents haven't come to me and said, hey, my child's struggling with this. And I just picked two random things. I picked two things. What does the Bible say about working a job that keeps you out of church? And what does the Bible say about dating someone that's not saved? I just two examples. And guess what we did? I gave him my opinion. No, I didn't do that. I opened up this book, and I showed them from the Bible what the Bible says about that, and how the Bible says that we're supposed to live, and how we address those things. So whenever Satan's questioning us that we can't do something, guess what? We need to show him this. We need to show him the Bible. And so whenever Satan's causing you to question this burden that God's laid on your heart, don't let him fool you. Show him God's word. So Nehemiah, I love his response. Oh, I love it. It says in verse 20, it says, then I answered them, so he addressed it, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Saying, hey, what you're saying, I don't need to worry about what you're saying, because God's going to provide for us. God's already provided, right? He's already given them the wood and the burden and the vision and preparation that he had. And so God's already provided. He's the one that's going to prosper us. Can I tell you, in any ministry that you serve in, God's going to prosper you. God's going to provide for you. If you're following and you're being obedient and you're doing the work, guess what? God's in it. He's going to take care of it. He's going to provide. He's going to strengthen you. And he's going to strengthen your hand in this. And it says, therefore, we his servants. So he's saying, hey, guess what we are? We're servants. We're simply going to do the work that God has called us to do. And he's going to take care of it. Amen. And we will arise and build. And so, and then he goes on. Man, I love it. When he addresses them, he says, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Meaning, get out. Meaning, get away. Get out. Because the Ammonites, guess what? The Ammonites were the enemies of the Jews. You know why? Because they would bring in their false gods. The Jews would intermarry with them, and they bring in their false gods. And that's the reason that Jerusalem's in rubble. And Nehemiah's like, I don't want anything to do with you guys, because it's because of our sin and influence of you all that we've now been in this situation. So he got rid of the influence. And what's going to happen is Satan's going to bring in influence in your life to try to get you away from God. And if you're not in this book, if you're not being faithful to the Lord, if you're not in it, then you're going to get influenced some other way. Amen. And he took a stand and said, you know what? We're not going to allow you in. We're not going to put up with it. We're taking a stand. Remember the slogan in the 90s about drugs? Just say no. So when Satan comes and he's tempting you, we give him the word of God and we tell him no. We say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get away from me. We don't want anything to do with it. We can't afford to let you interfere with us being able to do what God wants us to do. We can't afford it. So my challenge to you tonight, maybe the Lord's been working on your heart, burdened you with something, to be able to help and serve in a ministry. It doesn't have to be junior church. It doesn't have to be a Sunday school class. It might be writing cards to someone. Or if someone's sick, going making a visit. It might be going and passing out tracts more. Whatever God has burdened you for, can I encourage you? Don't let the challenges that Satan brings your way keep you from doing it. Put some preparation into it. There's going to be some work involved. That's a good thing. There should be work involved. So my challenge to you tonight is, are you ready to arise, just like they did here, and build? That's my challenge to you tonight.